The path of knowledge is the way to Jannah. The path of knowledge is the way to Jannah.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, As-salatu wassalamu ala Sayyidil Mursaleen, Amma ba'd, fa'adhu billahi minash shaitani rajim, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. As-salatu wassalamu alayka ya Rasulallah. As-salatu wassalamu alayka ya Habib Allah. As-salatu wassalamu alayka ya Nabi Allah. Wa ala alika wa ashabika ya Nur Allah. Alhamdulillah, another episode of Path to Success. And this is that particular program where we discuss many elements of life and the things that we can do or learn from the pious people that is a path to success. And alhamdulillah, today another great personality, mashallah, that we will be speaking about. And the purpose why we speak about the pious people's life is so, first of all, we can understand the struggles, the difficulties they went through. But on the other hand, we can learn from their lives, their ibadat, their giving in the way of Allah, their fasting in the month of Ramadan, and various other elements of their life, what we can learn from it. So this is the whole purpose of when we do speak about the pious people of Allah Azza wa Jal. This is the purpose. So first of all, we can discuss their life, but on the other hand, we can take some messages for ourselves and try to implement that in our lives, inshallah. So before we get to today's topic, inshallah, our first segment of today is a question of the day. So we'll go towards the question of the day today, inshallah.
The path of knowledge is the way to Jannah.
So yes, today's question is, where is the shrine of Hazrat Ghousi Azam Rahmatullah Alayh? Before we start going towards our panel to discuss this great topic, inshallah, which is the King of Kings. So inshallah, this is the topic today we will be discussing. We'll now go towards kalam from our beloved brother, inshallah, Azawajal. Mubashir Bhai.
Sallallahu alayka ya رسول اللہ وسلم علیک یا حبیب اللہ پھر کے گلی گلی تباہ پھر کے گلی گلی تباہ ٹھوکر سب کی کھائے کیوں پھر کے گلی گلی تباہ ٹھوکر سب کی کھائے کیوں سے جا کیوں رخصت قافلہ کشور غش سے ہمیں اٹھا سے ہمیں اٹھا کیوں سوتے ہیں ان کے سائے میں سوتے ہیں ان کے سائے میں کوئی ہمیں جگائے کیوں صلی علی نبینا صلی علی محمد بار نہ تھے حبیب کو پالتے ہی غریب کو بار نہ تھے حبیب کو نصیب کو روئے جو اب نصیب کو چین کہو گوا کیوں صلی علی نبی نا صلی علی محمد یاد حضور کی قسم غفلت عیش ہے ستم یاد حضور کی قسم غفلت عیش ہے ستم خوب ہے قید غم میں ہم خوب ہے قید غم میں ہم کوئی ہمیں چھڑا جرم پہ گئے جائے ہم ہے تو رضا نرا ستم جرم پہ گئے جائے ہم کوئی بجائے سوز غم ساز طرب بجائے کیوں صلی علی نبی یہ نا صلی علی محمد.
ماشاءاللہ, بیوٹیفل کلام بائی ریٹن بائی اعلی حضرت ماشاء اللہ اللہ عز و جل give us the blessings of this kalam. Ji Abdurrahman bhai, today's topic, the King of Kings, mashallah, Hazrat Ghousi Pak, rahmatullah alayhi, Allah shower his immense blessings upon his blessed mazar, inshallah. And this huge amount of aspects of his life that we can learn from. And that's the whole purpose of discussing these particular topics of Abdurrahman bhai, so we can learn from their lives as well, inshallah.
You know, when I was looking into this title, I thought I'll say something regarding just the title, because the kings of all kings, to a normal person, we might think, okay, what are they talking about, the kings of all kings? In reality, the awliya, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they are kings of all the kings. You know, even you will find, if you look into the seerahs of the awliya, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you'll find that even kings will come into the court to gain blessings. And you find in many, many great awliya, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, many pious people of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the kings would come and present their wealth to them. And they will present everything in front of them, and they will say, make supplication for us, make dua for us. And alhamdulillah, you will find this in the seerah of Ghousi Azam also, the Sheikh Abdul Qadir Jilani.
Abdurrahman, you know, if you look at this, what you just mentioned over the last couple of moments, you know, there are many, many kings that have passed. No one knows them. No one remembers them. Even the, like you mentioned, the father, the grandfather, their children, no one remembers them. But if you look at the pious people of their time, the awliya of Allah of their time, they're still being remembered today. Like, for example, you know, the king that you mentioned, you just mentioned he's the king because there's no name to it. But if you look at the Ghousi Pak, rahmatullah alayhi, all these personalities, there's names, there's Isaleh Swab, there are gatherings, and for example, programs like this that are discussing their blessed life as well.
No doubt, Wasim, but you know, inshallah, this is something, another whole discussion, you can say, talking about those who are remembered. You know, you look at the people with the wealth, the people with money, the people with fame, and all these types of people, they are forgotten about. Well, who's going to remember them? You're going to remember them mostly for what? A 20 years, 30 years, 40 years, 50 years, that's it. And the king we are talking about, he's from the time, or you can say almost 1,000 years ago. right? So, you know, almost 1,000 years have passed, still we are remembering him. We're still talking about him. We're talking about his life. So these are actually the kings. So, you know, this, inshallah, today we'll be talking about why we are saying that kings of all kings. The awliya, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in reality, they are the kings of all kings. They rule people's hearts. They rule. They conquer people's minds. And then they perform those miracles which the mind doesn't accept. Right? They perform them things in their lives, then they live their lives in such a way that, you know, no king can ever live their lives in that way. Right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses them with so much because they come closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah blesses them with strength, ability, power, everything.
MashaAllah. It just came to my mind, Hazrat Harun Rashid, rahmatullah alayhi, his son. You know, in other words, he left the dunya, in other words, in this way that, you know, when he passed away, there's a long story, there's a whole incident regarding him, but in other words, he left the dunya, and he left the dunya in such a state that he left a ring for his father.
Allah.
And when his father seen that, he said that, in other words, he had all the luxuries of this world, but for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal, he left everything for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal. So these are the pious
people. And you know, Waseem bhai, you know, the tariq actually talks about, you'll find history, talks about Harun Rashid, talks about his piety and how he was and the way of this. And then there was other, not just Sayyidina Harun Rashid, there were other great rulers who ruled the world, or you can say they ruled most of the world. They conquered many lands, but they were just kings. And they gained piety as well. They were people of taqwa. They were people who are God-fearing. And you see that them people are still remembered today.
One example that I would like to just give here, following upon the points of Abdul Hanan, is one ayah of the Holy Quran. And the translation from Kanzul Iman is, has the time not come for the believers to surrender their hearts to the remembrance of Allah? For this truth has come. And you know, this ayah of the Holy Quran, the reason why I mention this is because it's mentioned regarding many pious people of Allah that we remember today. That when they heard this ayah of the Holy Quran, in other words, their whole life changed. Like Harun Rashid's son. Then if you look at Hazrat Fuzail bin Iyaz, rahmatullah alayhi, regarding him as well, that it's mentioned that he was a famous thief of his time. A long story again. But in other words, one day he was on this path and people were fearing him. And whilst he was about to enter a house for theft, he heard this ayah of the Holy Quran, and alhamdulillah, his life changed. And today we remember him as well. So mashallah, this is one ayah of the Holy Quran that has changed the lives of many, many people, those pious people of Allah Azza wa Jal that we remember to today. These are the pious people of Allah. And this ayah of the Holy Quran, that has the time not come for the believers to surrender their hearts for the remembrance of Allah. In other words, the time is here. It's literally here. It might not be here tomorrow. It might not be here next week. It might not be here next month. Those people who are in the grave, for them, the time has come to a close. But alhamdulillah, myself, you, all those that are watching, the time is still here, the time is still present for us to repent in the court of Allah. MashaAllah, we've got our beloved brother Qasim bhai, mashaAllah. Brother Qasim, the king of all kings, inshaAllah.
The title itself is outstanding. The king of all kings. Usually we see a king and we understand a king that this king has, a great king has might. You know, he has power, etc. He has a rank, etc. But when you give someone the title of the king of all kings, you've actually got to understand that quite well. If we look at Sayyidina Shaykh Abdul Qadir Jilani, rahmatullahi ta'ala, why has he been given this title? That why did we today name the silsila as the king of all kings? What's the reason behind this? Alhamdulillah, through Dawat-e Islami, through Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah, you know, we get this opportunity to learn about the awliya and remember about awliya. Alhamdulillah, there have been many awliya, and the many awliya have been mentioned as well, so far as well, like great awliya and the great stories have been mentioned as well. There are many great friends of Allah. But we have to understand that there have been many awliya who have come in the past, but they had like a turning point in their life. They had a point in their life where the whole life completely changed. For example, if we take the life of Sayyidina Junaid Baghdadi, rahmatullahi ta'ala, that he was first a fighter, and a pahlawan, you can say, who would fight for the kings. But then Allah Azza wa Jal granted them such repentance, and then they done such ibadat, such worship to Allah Azza wa Jal, that they became a friend of Allah Azza wa Jal. If you look at some other awliya, we got like Fuzail bin Iyad, rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, that they were a robber, but then they were granted such repentance from Allah Azza wa Jal, and then they were given this opportunity to do so much worship that they became a wali of Allah. There's many other great awliya as well that were granted great repentance. For example, let's look at the waqiyah of Sayyidina Bishr Hafi, that he was an alcoholic. Yeah, he was dwelling into alcoholism. But that, then what happened? That he was granted repentance due to, it could be the turning point that was that they showed respect for something, or some turning point came in their life that even Sayyidina Abu Shurhafi, he was granted repentance. They did such worship throughout their life and they became a great wali of Allah. Mm-hmm. Now, we can also take a lesson from this, from the lives of the awliya, that especially nowadays, committing sins has become easier and easier, and we feel regret after doing sins, and we try our best not to commit them. But one thing we must understand, that as long as we remain steadfast upon the way of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that you know, we remain steadfast and we keep asking repentance in the court of Allah azza wa jal. You know, these weekly gatherings of Dawat Islami as well, that's weekly, you know, that's refresh that we have within us, that we, on a weekly basis, we come and we, you know, refresh our mind and we seek repentance in the court of Allah azza wa jal. What if that the biggest sinner, that he could be granted repentance from Allah azza wa jal, and that you could, one individual can gain the rank of being a wali of Allah azza wa jal. But what was my reason behind mentioning that these great awliya and how they were granted this turning point within life? If you look at Sayyidina Shaykh Abdul Qadir Jilani, why is he given the title of the King of all Kings? Because the greatness of Shaykh Abdul Qadir Jilani rahmatullahi ta'ala is that Sayyidina Shaykh Abdul Qadir Jilani, he was granted wilaya, i.e. the friendship of Allah azza wa jal, from birth. This was the great rank, to show the great importance to Ghaus-e-Azam, that from birth he was chosen as a wali, as a friend of Allah, and he was granted this ability. Because then there's obviously a reason that Shaykh Abdul Qadir Jilani rahmatullahi ta'ala, that he mentioned that qadami hadhi ala raqabati kulli waliyillah, that he mentioned that my foot is upon the necks of all the awliya. Because here we can see the status given to Shaykh Abdul Qadir Jilani rahmatullahi ta'ala, that he was chosen from birth as a great wali of Allah. Now, a waqia from the eve or the night before the birth of Ghaus-e-Azam. Now, his father, whose name was Sayyidina Abu Saleh Musa Jangi Dost, rahmatullahi ta'ala. Now, on the night, what happened was that they saw the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, along with companions and many awliya, noble awliya that were present there as well. And this glad tiding was given to the father of Sayyidina Ghaus-e-Azam, that, O Abu Saleh, Allah Almighty has granted you such a child who is a saint. He is my beloved as well as the beloved of Allah Almighty. His rank amongst the awliya and aqtab is like my rank amongst the prophets and the messengers, alayhi salatu wasalam. So look at this great glad tiding given to the father of Ghaus-e-Azam to show the rank. And also another thing we can take here as well, without any comparison. You know, if there's, we have a son and someone we really look up to, someone we really highly respect, and that individual then comes and praises our son and he says, your son is very good, etc. Without any comparison here, but here Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself, he has given the glad tiding to the father of Sayyidina Ghaus-e-Azam that your son will be a great saint. And not just any saint, but the saint of all saints. And for that reason, this title was given, the King of all Kings, i.e. the awliya of all awliya. This was Ghaus-e-Azam.
He gave the good news to his father, then mashallah, regarding his son. Mashallah.
Yes, okay.
Mashallah.
Also, one thing I was seen by, you know, when you talk about greatness of someone, there are many reasons for someone's greatness. And you know, some of the reasons are that he is from a great family, right? Some of the reasons are because his greatness is he performs such great actions which normal people don't perform, or he lives his life due to some greatness, or his status of knowledge, or different means of, you can say, greatness. And let's look at the greatness of this family lineage, because what makes Hazur Ghaus-e-Azam Shaykh Abdul Qadir Jilani at a great rank also is that his lineage leads back to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He is from the family tree of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and in such a unique way as well. Because as we know, those who are Sadat, those who are from the family of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, there's two ways of joining them, or there's few other ways of joining them. One of them is from Imam Hassan radiallahu ta'ala anhu, who is the grandson of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the other is Imam Hussein radiallahu ta'ala, who is also the grandson of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So these are the sons of Sayyidina Fatima radiallahu ta'ala. So Shaykh Abdul Qadir Jilani, Hazur Ghaus-e-Azam, his family tree actually joins back with both Imam Hassan and Imam Hussein. From his father's side was Imam Hassan, and from his mother's side is Imam Hussein radiallahu ta'ala. So how the family tree is joining back like this? So he's actually coming. His mother is also a Sayyid, his father is also a Sayyid. And Alhamdulillah, this itself is a greatness, because anything that links with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is given fazila, is given greatness. And Rasulullah sallallahu and Ghaus-e-Azam Shaykh Abdul Qadir Jilani, he's from the grandchildren of the Holy Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alaihi wasallam. This itself would make that person great. Alhamdulillah, this is one way of understanding a greatness of someone. Alhamdulillah, we in the Mughal of Dawat Islami, we are given this mindset regarding the Sadat, those who are from the family of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We are told to give them respect, and we are told to give them honor, and to, you know, respect their ways and the way they are, and all this. We are given this mindset. So Alhamdulillah, with Ghaus-e-Azam, he was from a child born in the household, from the family of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is itself his greatness. And then when Hazur Ghaus-e-Azam Sheikh Abdul Qadir Jilani is born, you know, if you talk about his mother, and then you talk about his father, they both were people of great piety, right? Then you talk about his grandfather was also a man of great piety. So the family lineage, it's carrying on with this piety.
And his auntie mentioned as well.
Right, you know, the viewers of Madhi Channel must have heard the very famous story about the man who ate the apple. And when he ate the apple, he realized that this apple belonged to someone, and whose apple is it that I took it without permission? And it was a stream where the apple was flowing down where he picked it up from. He followed it back up. Wow. And he went to, there was an orchard of someone's garden, which he found there was an apple tree hanging over. He entered into it. He said to the owner of the garden, he said, you know, I ate your apple, please forgive me. Wow. When that person saw that, who is this man coming asking me for forgiveness of an apple? An apple which I don't even know about, there must be something greatness in him. So he took him into his service. He said, I'll forgive you if you serve me for this much. He wanted to see who is this person was. So this was the father of Hazur Ghaus-e-Azam Sheikh Abdul Qadir. And then when Hazur Ghaus-e-Azam Sheikh Abdul Qadir Jilani's grandfather, when he saw that, you know, that this man who's come to get forgiveness for an apple, he's no ordinary man. You know, he's a man of piety. So, but he also had a daughter who was like this. And he said, like, would you marry my daughter who cannot see, who cannot hear? Well, you know, she basically saying that she was deaf. She could not see anything. And then when Hazur Ghaus-e-Azam's father married this woman, he found out that she could see, she could hear, but she had never looked at haram. She had never heard haram. She had never touched haram. So this was the parents of Hazur Ghaus-e-Azam. So you could see how this greatness is being transferred into the life of Hazur Ghaus-e-Azam. And then the incidents carry on. Every aspect of his life, you see one greatness and another greatness and another greatness. It carries on with his lives.
And if I was just to talk pre that as well as post that as well, if you look at the famous incident when he went to the madrasa for the first time, and you know, yes, we've heard that several times, that he went to the madrasa, the teacher asked him to read, and he goes, he read 18 spari of the Holy Quran. And he mentioned that the reason why I know these 18 spari is because my mother, whilst I was in her womb, she used to read it, and this is how I learned it. But this is also another message for all of us and those that are watching as well, that especially Abdul Hanan, you know, when a mother is expecting, a woman is expecting, what's happening? What environment is she going through? If you look at science today, what is science telling us? That the effect of during the pregnancy, this will have an effect post-birth as well. And you know, Abdul Hanaba, there was one person he mentioned that, you know, there's this one kalam, whenever we put it onto the TV or when we put it onto the phone, the child, you know, he starts smiling, and there's this uniqueness about it. And, you know, the mother says that, you know, when I was expecting with this child, I used to listen to that particular kalam. So this shows you the effect that it has upon post-birth as well. So this is why it's very, very important that we need to look at our house. We need to find out and see how our children are being brought up as well, because this will have an impact upon their early life as well as later life. For example, now if you see people, you know, they're reading namaz. One of the major reasons is that they've got into this habit of reading namaz from the start. And there's many, many examples like this that we can understand as well. So it's very, very important that the early life of a child, you know, we spend some time, we spend some quality there, because this will have an impact later on as well.
Definitely something to point out here as well. You know, we mentioned regarding the effect that a mother gives to a child, pre-birth and after-birth as well. You know, it's written in many, across many big books as well, that a male, he has this right upon his children even before their birth. He has a right to fulfill for his children that he doesn't even have yet. Every single youngster that we see out here right now, and all of us as well, we need to be, you know, thinking about this, that the rights of our children, what are the rights that the mother that will be of our children? This is very important that, you know, nowadays when we, if a youngster is looking for a wife or a female companion, what do we look at today? Maybe we look at the beauty, or maybe the background should be good, the household should be good, or jahiz, i.e. what they would bring into this marriage. So these are the kind of things that are thought about. But we understand from the great awliya, from the waqi'ah of Sayyidina Ghawsiyah Azam, that what should really be looked at is the piety of the mother. Because the piety of the mother, this will eventually, you know, have an effect, it will have the athar on the child when the child is born. And again, it's mentioned many times that, you know, a child's first university, it is the mother as well. That if a male, he brings a good female companion, a pious female companion, who will nurture his child and daughter, etc., then inshallah, he will see the fruit after. Same. Yes, you bring the right plant, you bring the right seed at the first time. For example, you want to have like an apple tree, but you bring a plum seed, etc., you're not going to get what you wanted. So a person must bring the right thing at the start in order to get what he wanted at the end. Yes, if he brings a pious female companion, then he will see pious offspring. Yes, if that would be the right teachings given to his children. So this is very important, especially for our youngsters to look at this, that who we want to marry and why we want to marry as well. We should always be looking ahead and what our future plans, and always, you know, bring your deen first. That we should look at the deen first. Even in many, across many ahadith is mentioned as well regarding this, that the first thing, that the most important thing that you should look at is the deen when you look to marry to someone. And the same for our female viewers as well. That when we are looking for a male, you know, in this waqi'ah that Abu Hanabi mentioned regarding the father and the grandfather of Ghawsiyah Azam, regarding when they had that interaction regarding the apple, etc. You know, the grandfather of Ghawsiyah Azam, he didn't ask the individual as to how much wealth he had or where did he come from, who's your lineage, etc. There's only one thing that he looked in this individual, that this youngster who's come to me, he has the fear of Allah Azza wa Jal. Over one apple, people take people's money, take people's land, and they don't even come to, you know, they don't care about hukukul ibad. They don't care about this.
You'd be looking for them. You'd be trying to find them,
trying to find them, yes.
Where that person's gone.
Exactly. So that's very important, that this individual that came to the grandfather of Ghawsiyah Azam, that they looked at this piety, that the fear of Allah that this youngster had. They didn't ask about his wealth, etc. Another thing you may see in our society, that people will look, okay, if this, what's the beauty of a man? His pocket. That's what they look at. But the real beauty of a man, we should look at the piety and, of course, how his background is, how his upbringing is. This is the most important thing, especially when we look at the concept of marriage. Smart. Definitely.
MashaAllah, some amazing Madani pearls from the brothers. Inshallah, we will review the question of the day again, inshallah. So, where is the shrine of Hazrat Ghawsiyah Pak, Ghawsiyah Azam, Rahmatullah Alayh? Inshallah, now we will go towards the package of today, inshallah.
Dear viewers of Madani channel, Allah Almighty bestowed great honor upon Ghawsiyah Azam rahmatullahi ta'ala alayh. The greatness of Ghawsiyah Azam lies in the fact that he was a saintly figure from birth and a chosen person of Allah Azza wa Jal. Ghawsiyah Azam's greatness is also evident in the fact that he began observing fast from birth. He would have milk for suhoor and then break his fast at sunset. The greatness of Ghawsiyah Azam rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi is also reflected in the fact that at the age of 5, he recited the Bismillah and 18 portions of the Quranic verses in Arabic. He said, "I remembered it after hearing it from my mother. May Allah's mercy be upon her." The greatness of Ghawsiyah Azam rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi is further exemplified by his habitual acts of worship, devotion, and Quranic recitation. For 15 years, he completed the recitation of the entire Quran every night. He also used to perform 1,000 units of Nafil prayers daily. Ghawsiyah Azam's greatness is evident in his teaching of 13 different sciences. He taught people tafsir, hadith, fiqh, kalam, usul, and nahav before and after noon. In the afternoon, he would teach tajweed and Quranic recitation along with the Quran itself. Ghawsiyah Azam's greatness is also evident in the fact that more than 500 non-Muslims embraced Islam through his miraculous interventions. Additionally, over 100,000 thieves, robbers, sinners, and wrongdoers repented and sought forgiveness. Sallu alal Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam.
In Sahihain, both Bukhari and Muslim, Sayyiduna Hudhaifa radiyallahu ta'ala and narrates that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, in the previous era, there was a person whose soul was about to be extracted from his body. The angel arrived and it was said to that person, "Do you remember doing anything good?" He said, I don't recall doing any good deed. And it was said to him, ponder, reflect, and then mention it again. And he says, I don't recall anything except one thing. In the world, when I would do transactions with people, and I would show good conduct towards them, even if a wealthy person came to me and he requested for some time, respite, I would give him respite. A wealthy person. And as for the person who was financially constrained, he wasn't wealthy, he was already suffering, I would pardon him, I would forgive him. SubhanAllah, what's the reward of this? The narration mentions that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted that person admittance to paradise. He gained entry to paradise. Why? Whenever he would do transactions in the world, he would show good conduct towards people. Even if a wealthy person came to him and asked for some time, requested some time, respite, he would give him respite. And as for the person who was financially struggling, and there was bazahir, apparently no means for him to pay it back, he would forgive that. He would pardon him. And because of this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala entered him into Jannah. And this particular narration, in Sahih Muslim, the wordings towards the end are that Allah Ta'ala said, SubhanAllah, Allah Ta'ala said that I am more rightful of forgiving. Meaning that person said he would forgive the loan, the debt of the financially constrained person. Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala said, I am more rightful of forgiving. O angels, pardon this person of mine. Pardon this slave of mine. SubhanAllah, these are the things that we should be thinking about in this particular situation. If we're in this situation where we're owed money and we should look at the person, if he's financially constrained, if he cannot give it back, then if Allah has blessed us and we are prosperous, we are wealthy, we're affluent, then look at the reward. Even if you were to forgive that debt, forgive the amount that he has given you, you will not suffer loss. Why? Because Allah will grant you forgiveness. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant you entry into paradise. SubhanAllah. And there are many people out there. MashaAllah, Allah has blessed them. Yet, if someone owes them £1,000, £2,000, they will make his life a living hell, as they say. They would make it very difficult for him. And these are people who should learn from Islamic teaching.
MashaAllah, Alhamdulillah, we've just said some amazing Madani pearls from the packages, MashaAllah, from Mubalighini, Dawat-e-Islami, Hafiz Kaleem Sahab. G. Abdulhanan Bhai, regarding the life of Hazrat Ghousi Pak, another aspect of Abdulhanan Bhai is that of Hazrat Ghousi Pak's life is that despite his schedule, in other words, he would still take time out to read the Holy Quran. Now, if you look every single night, it's mentioned that he would finish one Holy Quran for 15 years. Now think to yourself that for those that are listening, myself included as well, that how much, when's the last time we've opened the Quran? When's the last time that we've seen the Quran? When's the last time that we did the ziyarat of the Quran? But Hazrat Ghousi Pak, despite his schedule, despite how busy he was, he still took time out, not only to read one page or one spara or five sparas a day, but no, one complete Holy Quran he would complete on a nightly basis. So these were the pious people of Allah Azza wa Jal, that their passion for ibadat. And there's many other aspects regarding worship that inshallah we will try to discuss. But the Quran is one aspect, that they love for the Quran. It's mentioned in books as well, that if you want to see, if you want to test how much you love Allah Azza wa Jal, find out how much you open the Quran and read the Holy Quran. So this is something that we can try to identify, that how much do we love Allah? What is our love with our Creator Azza wa Jal? How much do we open the Quran? How much do we read the Holy Quran on a daily basis or on a weekly basis? This is a question for all of us. Jee Abdulhanan Bhai.
Jee Waseem Bhai, you know, the ibadat, whether it was reciting the Quran or reading the wafil, this was a quality of the awliya Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You can say the pious people of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they would do it in abundance. And also seeking knowledge, all this they would do in such a way that, you know, that the examples are left till the end of time. Meaning, you know, we can only think of them actions. We can't implement them. We can't do them in our lives. You know, and you would see that in their lives that they would, the whole nights would be in ibadat. They would spend their nights in ibadat. The nights were special for the holy Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And they would spend their nights in ibadat and the days in fasting. These are two things that we will find in the seerahs of the awliya. They will spend their nights in ibadat and the day in fasting. And they would continue to do this for years and years. And you know, like you mentioned about reciting of the Quran, again, this was a habit. I think it's 15 years.
15 years.
Which is mentioned as Ghousi Azam, Sheikh Abdul Qadir Jilani would read the whole Quran. This, in that short, you know, time reading the whole Quran. It wasn't just something of their life, but you can say that this was a miracle of their lives as well. Mm-hmm. Because me and you cannot do these sort of things. You know, how much of the Quran will we recite? We'll recite probably half a juice if we get to that stage. Then we get tired. And then, you know, like you want to do something else. Your mind goes occupied in something else. Right? So, you know, this was the habits of the pious people of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Mm-hmm. So ibadah, they took this upon themselves. And another thing regarding the awliya Allah, Waseem Bhai, is one of the other things about their greatness is that these people, they would disconnect themselves from the worldly matters. Mm. Or you can say from the dunya. They would live their lives fulfilling the rights of people, but they would disconnect themselves from the dunya that much that they would, you know, they had ibadat as they would spend more of their time doing the ibadat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Mm. And you know, and then they will go to the struggles, the hardships. They would starve themselves. You know, they would, it's not that they didn't have food. They even Ghousi Azam Sheikh Abdul Qadir Jilani, he would, you know, survive on leaves of trees and also grass. You know, he would survive on these things. And then, you know, one day he said that he didn't touch the grass or he didn't touch the leaves because there might be someone else who will be more in need of that. Mm. Like this is the thinking of these pious people. They're surviving on grass and leaves. They're giving that away so that someone else might be in need of it more than me. Someone, can you imagine that how these people, their lives were? Subhanallah. You know, there's one, is mentioned in one narration regarding Hazrat Ghousi Azam Sheikh Abdul Qadir Jilani, that he would say that, you know, there would come a time when he was facing so much hardship, so many difficulties he was going through. And his hardship, they reached a peak. And he, you know, he went to such a struggle that he would lie on the floor. He obviously had no strength left in the body. He would lie on the floor and he would recite the verses of the Holy Quran, the fifth and the sixth verse of Surah Al-Nashra. Yeah? فَإِنَّمَا عَلْأُسْرِ يُسْرَى إِنَّمَا عَلْأُسْرِ يُسْرَى So without doubt, there is ease after hardship. Without doubt, there is ease after hardship. Meaning, this is the way they would tell themselves. Mm. You know, don't worry, after this hardship, there'll be ease.
And you know, it's mentioned regarding Hazrat Ghousi Pak Rahmatullah Alayhi that he would deliver speeches on a regular basis. And you know, Abdurrahman Bhai, during a speech, is mentioned that he would be given the news that your child has passed away. And then he would continue to invite towards righteousness. So these were the pious people of Allah Azza wa Jal that, you know, and it's mentioned that in his gatherings, there used to be 70,000 people that used to be listening to his speeches towards his dars. Now it's mentioned that this is another miracle in itself as well, that, you know, today, for example, you know, if we are speaking to a gathering, even if it's 30, 40 people, what happens is that you have the mic on, the sound gets to them. But think to yourself, 70,000 people, and it's mentioned that regarding his gatherings, it's mentioned that the person who is right at the front, person number one, and person 70,000 right at the back, the way the first person would be hearing the sound, that's how the person right at the back would be hearing the sound. So this was a miracle in itself as well.
Yes, Waseem Bhai, obviously from hardship, and you know, you talked about deliverance. Why there was effect in their words? Right? The effect of the words were because they went through this struggle. You know, and if I remember there's a call of Imam Azam Abu Hanifa, Amil Sunnah writes in The Excellence of Hunger, he says that before any important task, do not fill your stomach, right? Mm. Go and because the filling of the stomach, it will remove your intellect, right? It will take away your senses. You know, when a person's full, he's like, what do I want to do? He wants to sleep now. That's it. He's had his food. He's got a full belly. Next thing you want to know, he just wants to rest. He doesn't want to be using his mind. Mm. And this eating, this was a thing which the awliya Allah did. They strive to do this. They kill their desires. They kill their nafs. They kill their egos. And they would starve themselves. They would go into a state of hunger. They would go into the state of hardship. And they would go into the state of difficulty.
You know, it's a very important thing to mention here that the awliya, we hear this quite a lot from many awliya. Not just Sayyidina Ghousi Pak, but many other awliya as well, the killing of the nafs. You know, I think this is the foundation to gaining true piety. That the awliya, even though, like, for example, many waqiyah of Sayyidina Ghousi Pak at the time when they were in Baghdad and Jilan, that the kings at that time, they want to give you wealth so you can live a life of luxury. But even at that time, they would reject this. Why? Because they knew that this wasn't their goal, this wasn't their aim. So any desires that came to them, they want, like for example, nowadays, if we want something, Allah has blessed us that we're able to buy it. whatever it may be. But sometimes you don't actually need that thing. So this kind of ittiba, i.e. following the footsteps of the awliya and how we can follow them, you know, how they would kill their nafs, completely destroy their nafs. Yes, how can we do this? Something we desire, we really want this. Whatever it may be, maybe it comes down to eating out today, or maybe, you know, you want something, you want a new toy, etc. For many people, it could be different things. But once we start taking these steps, we will be closer to gaining piety. One thing that, you know, blocks us from doing this, it is our love for this world. This love for this world, it absolutely drowns an individual. So it's very important for us to, you know, kill our nafs.
You know, the world and the hereafter is something like this. That if you go, it's like the east and the west. If you go towards the east, the west will go, be a distance from you. And if you go to the west, the east will be at a distance for you. So meaning the world, you know, if someone is trying to strive for the dunya, he wants to work for the world. The afterlife is, he is not able going to achieve it because he's working towards one. And if he works towards the other, works towards the afterlife, then the dunya, you know, then the dunya will be further away from him because he's working more towards the afterlife. And the pious people, rahimahullah, they understood this, that this is why they would disconnect themselves from the world, and because their focus was the afterlife. They had left the dunya, they struggled, strived, difficulties. Ghousse Azam, Sheikh Abdul Qadir Jilani, spent 25 years in the jungles of Baghdad. Imagine 25 years in the jungle living. You know, we could just think of this. It does mean, you can say like a normal person, almost half of his life. Right? He spent time in the jungles. What for? For the sake of the deen, for the pleasure of seeking knowledge, for earning, not for the worldly wealth. They didn't go in the jungles what to make money. They were in the jungle so that they could kill their desires. They killed their ego. That because the ego, the nafs is something which the awliya fought against. Right? And time to time, Hazur Ghousse Azam Sheikh Abdul Qadir Jilani, he would be killing his desires, and sometimes regarding food, sometimes his nafs. And he would be put in so many challenges that at times shaitan would come in front of him with a sword. Shaitan will come to fight him. You know, at times the shaitan will try to show his beauty or show, you know, you can say things to him and making Hazur Ghousse Azam try to divert him away. In one incident, it's mentioned, Waseem Bhai, that Hazur Ghousse Azam, he was in this state of strife, you know, hunger, thirst, all this. And then shaitan's on top of you. You know, imagine this. Hazur Ghousse Azam is mentioning one day he was in such a state, his tongue has become dried, nothing to drink, nothing to eat. Then he's walking in the desert, in the jungle, in this state, that there's nothing around, nothing he can crunch his hunger or thirst with. All of a sudden, a cloud comes over his head. When this cloud comes, it starts to pour down rain. And when it pours down rain, then a brightness appears in that cloud. And the brightness says, now this is shaitan attacking Hazur Ghousse Azam. The brightness is saying that, oh Abdul Qadir, I am your sustainer. I am your Rabb. I have made all unlawful things lawful for you. Meaning all haram things halal for you. Now Hazur Ghousse Azam, Sheikh Abdul Qadir Jilani, is not an ordinary man. He's a wali of Allah. He's someone who understands the tricks of shaitan. And he says, I started to recite A'udhu Billahi Minash Shaitan, knowing that this was Iblis. This was shaitan. He's trying to divert me away from the ibadat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, from goodness. And he says that brightness vanished and darkness appeared. And then shaitan, he said, oh Abdul Qadir, before you, I had misguided many great awliyas. But your knowledge has saved you. Your knowledge has saved you. And Hazur Ghousse Azam, look at how the pious people are. They humble themselves in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Hazur Ghousse Azam, Sheikh Abdul Qadir Jilani is saying that, oh curse one, my knowledge did not save me, but by the mercy of my creator, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saved.
Subhanallah. Can I just mention one thing quickly? Very quickly, because you mentioned a point there regarding knowledge. And I think one very important thing for the viewers to understand here regarding knowledge and how important it is. You know, a teacher once in my class, they gave this example that, for example, you're in a dark room. If you've got no knowledge, you're in like a dark room. But if someone comes to you in a dark room and is leading you towards somewhere, but you don't know where he's leading you towards. But if you gain knowledge, it's like a torch, and it gives you that torch and the ability to then see which way is the right path and who's leading you to the correct path as well. So I thought that was a very important point mention there.
So it's like this, you know, the people of piety, they were people who killed the nafs. They're people who had great knowledge. They're people who had great understanding. And it is indeed, Waseem Bhai, it is the these qualities of these people which makes them the kings of all kings.
That's right. And that's why they're being remembered till today as well. And inshallah, they will be remembered until the day of judgment. MashaAllah, we've got Abu Mubashir by with us. A few kalams, inshallah, if you want to read, inshallah.
صلى الله عليك يا رسول الله وسلم عليك يا حبيب الله واغ کیا مرتبہ غوث بالا تیرا اونچے اونچوں کے سروں سے پدمالا تیرا مزرعِ چشت و بخارا و عراق و اجمیر کون سی کشت پہ برسا نہیں جالا تیرا صلی اللہ علیکہ یا رسول اللہ سلم علیک یا حبیب اللہ چمک تجھ سے پاتے ہیں سب پانے والے قسمت میری چمکائے آقا مجھ کو بھی درِ پاک پہ بلوائے آقا سینے میں کعبہ تو بس دل میں مدینہ آنکھوں میں میری آنکھ سما جائے آقا چمک تجھ سے پا تیرے سر بانے نیوادی میرا دل بھی چمکا دے چمکانے والے مدینے کے خیت خدا تجھ کو روکے ٹھہرانے والے غریب و فقیر روکے ٹھہرانے والے چمک تجھ سے پاتے ہیں سب پانے والے میرا دل بھی چمکا دے چمکانے والے برستا رہی دیکھ کر اب رحمت برستا رہی دیکھ کر اب رحمت برستا رہی دیکھ کر برسا دے برسانے والے ظالم سے دشمن ہے دم بنا ظالم سے دشمن ہے دم بنا تم نے دیکھی ہے چند رانے والے کہا تم نے دیکھی ہے چند رانے والے چمک جیسے پاستے ہیں سب پانے والے میرا دل بھی چمکا دے چمکانے والے.
Brother was reading regarding this saying of Imam Ahmad Raza Khan rahmatullah alayh, that Raza nafs dushman hai damme nana, that the nafs, the ego, is an enemy. Don't get caught by it. In this was something, you know, if you look at the lives of Wazir Ghousi Azam Sheikh Abdul Qadir Jilani, or the pious people of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this was a part of their life which they always went through. They fought against their ego. They fought against their nafs. And they would remind themselves, like Allah is saying, Raza nafs dushman hai, dam mein na aana. Don't get caught by it. This ego will, this will, you divert, it's diverting you away. Don't get caught in it. So if you look at this, this is something about the greatness of the pious people of Allah. They always fighting with the ego, fighting with the nafs, fighting with their desires. And when they did this, you know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala elevated their ranks such so much that, you know, brother was reading the kalam about the Hazur Ghousi Azam, you know, it reminded me of, there was a saying, there was one person I met from the city of Baghdad. Yeah? He was from Baghdad, from the Mizar of, he used to pass by the Mizar of Hazur Ghousi Azam. And he would say that, he goes, you know, whenever we have a difficulty, whenever we have a problem, whenever we have any need, what we do is that we go past the Mizar of Hazur Ghousi Azam, Sheikh Abdul Qadir Jilani, with this intention that this person is close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And inshallah, Azawajal, because of his closeness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala remove our difficulties and our problems. And this person, he would say that, you know, when we were in a difficulty, we would walk past there, believe it or not, our difficulties will be removed. Our problems will go away. This is the awliya Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Their shrines, they sohbat, their connectivity with them. It's a means of blessing, Wasim bhai. And you know, I experienced this. I was on my trip into Africa. And you know, I visited a number of mezars of the awliya Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the pious people of Allah, their shrines. And I tell you, you find such a tranquility there. You find such a peace of mind that your heart's in. And you see people coming to these places from all over the place. I was in Cape Town and also in South Africa, and we visited one mezar sharif. And you know where this mezar was, Wasim bhai? You will be amazed. It was right by these Table Mountains. These mountains, which are, you know, in South Africa, they're famous by the Table Mountains. Yeah, the mountains are not with the peak; they're flat. That's why they call the Table Mountains. And you had, you know, around just the Table Mountain, the brother was telling us there's almost approximately 100 shrines of the walis of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. 100 awliya buried just around that mountain. Imagine. And there was one we went and we visited. It was unique because, you know, we went, it was like going down a hill, and then we crossed a stream and we went into the jungle. We went to one side, the brother goes, I think it's this direction. So we went, and he goes, we went into the bushes, into the hills. It wasn't there. Then he goes, no, it's maybe further away. So we walked on forward, and we got to there. I tell you, Wasim bhai, it was just, you could say it's a place which was hidden away from normal people, but a wali of Allah is buried there. Imagine what these people were doing there, by the mountains, not, you know, and this is by the ocean, by the mountains. They were doing the ibadat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And these were the resting places of them. When they passed away, they were buried in these places. Mm-hmm. And subhanAllah, you know, when you visit the shrines of the awliya Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you see the greatness of these people. And you know, it just, when they were showing on Madani channel about Hazur Ghousi Azam, the Mizar Sharif there, you just looking at it moves you, you know, to that, makes you feel that, you know, this is a place I want to visit.
Abdurrahman bhai, Qasim bhai, another aspect of Hazrat Ghousi Pak's life is, you know, when I spoke about at the start regarding learning various things from their life, another thing that we could speak about is his blessed sayings. And what, there's one saying that I just want to mention here of Hazrat Ghousi Pak. You know, the day before Eid, Qasim bhai, what normally happens is everyone's happy. You know, tomorrow's going to be Eid, you know, we're going to wear our new clothes, we're going to do this, spend time with the family, etc., etc., etc. But if you look at Hazrat Ghousi Pak, he mentioned, people are saying, tomorrow is Eid, tomorrow is Eid. And everyone is happy. But the day that I leave this world with Iman, with faith, that day will actually be Eid for me. And you know, just a few months ago, Qasim bhai, I heard a story. There was one elderly person and he was in hospital. So one brother says, I went to see my family member that was in hospital and he was nearby. And we were talking about Islam. He called me over and he accepted Islam. Now the next day he passed away.
No.
So this shows you that the mercy of Allah just showers upon people, that his whole life, 90 years of his life, he spent on one way. But the last moments he accepted Islam. So this is also a message for all of us, that how much do we worry about our iman? It's not guaranteed. May Allah protect our iman, allow us to take our iman into our grave. But this is one thing that is mentioned in the books time and time again, that protect your faith. You know, your faith, the importance of taking your faith into the grave. So this is something that should worry us. And if you look at Hazrat Ghawse Pak, this is something that used to worry him. That even the day before Eid, he's mentioning that tomorrow, everyone is happy because tomorrow is Eid. But my day of happiness will be when I take my iman into our grave. And we've just heard the discussion regarding his worship, how close he was. Regarding the amount of worship that he used to do, the amount of excessive one Holy Quran every night, etc., all this worship he used to do, but still he was worried about his iman. But we do not know, we know the state of our ibadat, we know the state of our worship, but we are not worried.
Definitely. It's, you know, you just mentioning these points, etc., it hits, as you say in English, hits your heart deep, because this point is very scary, especially for the view as well. This is something we should ponder upon on a daily basis, that, you know, we do actions on a daily basis, and the awliya of Allah, they would, you know, do the actions which were in accordance to the commands of Allah. But here we are disobeying Allah and not following the commandments of Allah. What we don't want to happen is that any of our action, it leads to the displeasure of Allah. As you mentioned that great waqia regarding, you know, the brother that he accepted Islam just before his death. I mean, what we don't want is the opposite to happen. That is a very, very scary thing that we should definitely ponder upon, Wasim Bhai. And you know what it is? Even the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that innamal amalu bil khawatim, that indeed the actions depend on the ending. That, you know, all of our actions that we do, what is the main thing, as even Ghawse Pak mentioned as well, what they really feared was dying upon iman. This is the main thing as well, that we should really be focused on and do dua to Allah so that our ending, it is on iman as well. And our actions will lead towards this. If we do good actions in our life, you know, we're not doing backbiting, lying, and doing such things which lead to the displeasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Rather, we do actions which lead to the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then indeed we will see a good outcome. That indeed, if we stay upon the right path, if we do the good action. You know, in the back of our mind, we know all the bad things. But it is shaitanic whispers and our bad habits which lead us towards this. So it's very important for the viewers as well to understand this, that our iman, our death to be more iman, this is the most important thing as well. And how you mentioned, you know, Ghawse Pak, many, many great actions they done, many great, you know, great character they had. But this was, again, the thing that is most important in the back of the mind, that they get death upon iman. Because, again, the ending, our death upon iman, is the main thing that should be our target as well.
We come to our last few minutes of our silsilah, inshallah. Any final words regarding this topic? And then, inshallah, we'll announce the winner, inshallah.
Just for the views of Madani channel is that, you know, we are in such a time that people do not understand what a wali is. It's just the way we've been brought up in our societies, you know, in the time which we live in. People are listening to social media, or they're not seeing the true aspects of walis, or knowing about the status of the awliya Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you find that people fall into a doubt that, you know, there's no such thing as, you know, these type of pious people of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or those people who live their lives in such a way. You know, once I was mentioning an incident of one pious person of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the person turned around, he says, how is this possible? You know, how is it possible for someone to spend so much of his life doing this or avoiding this action? How is it possible? It's because we've gone so far away from the actual reality of the deen, or the ways of the pious people of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to us, like a great action, you know, we think, no, it can't be done. You know, like, we will find it such a burden or so difficult to do. Where the pious people would do this as a norm. It was normal for them to do. So try to have this understanding that we have moved away from the deen so far. This is why we are not able to understand the actions of the pious people, their lives and how they live their lives, or even about their status and maqam. You know, people get into doubt that how is it possible a wali, someone to perform an action like this, or an action like this, or how is this possible? And there's a very beautiful way of making that person's mind is, and that is that, you know, if Allah wills, he can give his power to anyone. This is our iman, this is our belief. Yes, we all believe this. If Allah wills, He can give His power to any, give power and strength and ability to anyone to be able to do anything. Like He gave power to His Anbiya alayhi salam, like Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam was given from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bring the dead alive. And you know, they did this, although the concept of today's mindset is what? How can the dead come back to life? How is it possible for someone who's left the world to come back alive? It is possible. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chooses it to be possible, and He gives power and strength to ability to His people. If you look at the Quran, that Quran talks about these incidents, how the dead people came back alive. The cow, which is in Surah Al-Baqarah mentions, you know, it nudged a dead person and the person came alive. It's, you know, we can't accept this mentality nowadays, that how this is possible. But we have to learn that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wills, He can give the power to any of His servants. And this is all done with the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Final point. Yes, I would definitely want to mention one thing. Here we haven't been able to mention everything regarding Ghusl Park and the awliya of Allah. But one thing I recommend the viewers definitely do is when we hear about the awliya and, you know, the great waqiyat, the miracles of theirs, the karamat, and especially anything that they have done throughout their life. You know, the awliya and the prophets as well, that throughout their life, whatever they were doing, the action they were doing, they were leaving a message behind for us. There was some kind of lesson there behind for us. As we mentioned, many great waqiyat, like for example, the grandfather of Ghusl Park, and how we can learn, you know, different regarding Hukukul Ibad and many other things. And even the famous story regarding Ghusl Park, you know, when they were young and they traveled to Baghdad, and then the caravan was, the robbers came, and how Ghusl Park didn't lie. Even all these actions that we have from the great awliya and Ghusl Park, definitely something for us to take in. Definitely something that we should, you know, always have in the back of mind. How can we improve? Of course, we can never reach the ranks of the great Ghusl Park and the great awliya Karam, but we should at least adopt something where we can have a great character, or where we can, you know, adopt some of the things that the great awliya had. So definitely recommend the viewers that we learn the seerah of the great awliya, Ghusl Park, and understand what was their great things that they done, and how can we also apply this to our daily life as well.
MashaAllah. Alhamdulillah, that was another episode of Path to Success. Inshallah, we'll go towards the segment question of the day, and we'll see what the right answer for today is, and then we'll announce the winner, inshallah.
The path of knowledge is the way to Jannah.
Yes, so the correct answer is Baghdad in Iraq. That's where the blessed shrine of Hazrat Ghusl Park is, mashallah.
Sure,
Allah.
I mentioned that in my bayan.
Yes, mashallah. You always give your hints during the speech. So that was another episode of Path to Success. May Allah Azawajal give us the blessings of Hazrat Ghusl Park, inshallah, and allow us to follow his blessed life, inshallah. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
The path of knowledge is the way to Jannah, the path of knowledge.